Tired of the same old sports analysis? Then you need the SMQBs podcast. They're five attorneys, they're sports fanatics, and they're ready to make their case. Welcome to Sports Talk with an Edge. From Dallas, Texas, Ryan Pope. Michael Rooster Phelan from Richmond, Virginia. Patrick Milk Michler from Tampa. Toby House Milrod from Philadelphia. Chris Bison Nace from D.C.
SMQBs episode 125. 75 more episodes for another tattoo. Right, guys?
Let's go.
All right. Let's get this thing going. You got one number from the week past or the week looking forward. House from Philly. What do you got?
Numero uno. Number one, Jalen Hurts will be the number one selling jersey in the NFL this week with the number one throwback jersey of all time. Kelly Green, number one, your number one football team coming up this year.
Vomit.
That's the color Rooster, of green.
Vomit.
Rooster from Richmond.
445. That's the number of feet that Aaron Judge jacked one out the other day against the Orioles.
Was that nice
his first home loss. Run back from the injured list?
All right. Milk, down in Tampa, what's your number?
Four. That's how many interceptions that Baker Mayfield has thrown in his first five practices. So, that's where I fucking am right now. And the picture behind me tells me.
Hope from Dallas. What do you got?
Seven. The number of strokes that the newest phenom on the PGA Tour, Roll Tide from Alabama, won yesterday at the 3M in his first professional win. Seven strokes.
Alabama golf now. This is amazing.
Who was that?
Lee Hodges.
Okay.
From Huntsville, Alabama.
All right. This is Bison. I'm in D.C. And I'm giving you two numbers. Four. That's the number of grid spots Max has won from this year. And nine is the number of grid spots he's won in his career, winning from the pole from spot twos, three, four, six, seven, nine, 10, and 14.
Boom. I think he should start from the pit and just see if he can win from the pit. That'd be awesome.
Sounds like it. All right, guys, we talked about superstitions in sports last week on episode 124, and definitely got some feedback, including one Tad Thomas, who said to me that as he was listening, these guys just don't understand the baseball gods are different. I couldn't agree more. But House, what are your thoughts after the week? What did you hear? Where are we? What do we got?
Yeah, I mean, Tad is right. So I was feeling a little bit bad about myself, about believing in all this hocus pocus stuff. And I decided to try it on for size. So yesterday.
Trusted it.
Yeah, I trusted it. I'm like, I think Rooster's on to something here. God can't be for everybody at the same time. So, you know, Christopher Sanchez goes out on the mound for the Phils yesterday. By the way, he's the lowest ERA and the lowest whip of any pitcher since June 17th in baseball. And he comes out and throws five no-hit innings. And I'm thinking, this is great. This is great, but I'm not going to do any of this hocus pocus Tad Thomas, Chris Nay stuff. I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to text you guys and say, guess what? Christopher Sanchez has a no-hitter going. And sure enough, sixth inning. Of course, they switch pitchers, but the Phillies lose their no-hitter on the very first batter. I'm back. This superstition shit.
I don't.
Why would you think that wouldn't have been a no-hitter even if he.
When you.
Wouldn't House, have been a no-no, period.
House, when they switched hitters or pitchers, what did you text us? Because you really went all in here. You said, do we believe that multiple pitchers combining for a no-hitter is a no-hitter?
Yeah, well,
I
just wanted to know. I was willing to say it out loud.
Yeah, and you'll never do that again, will you?
Ever, because superstition is real. We had a couple of mailboxes. Zeke reminded me that twice before Philadelphia sports teams games, I made the mistake once of going to the St. Louis Cathedral in New Orleans, And I, that's not really my religious persuasion. And so Zeke was thinking, maybe you shouldn't go in there and try to say a prayer for one of your sports teams. So I went in before the Eagles Saints game and, you know, Alshon Jeffrey, we're driving down at the end of the game and he hasn't dropped a pass the whole postseason and it goes off his hands, intercepted. We lose in the playoffs. And I'm like, well, that's hocus pocus. That's ridiculous. I go back, try it one more time before a Sixers playoff game. I don't even want to talk about that, but we lost that too. Superstition is real. I didn't belong making those prayers in that
trip. No, that's true.
Saying two unanswered prayers equals affirmation?
No, he's saying that because he went into a Catholic church.
Right.
Yes. A Philadelphia sports team playing halfway across the country messed up.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. And because he said no hitter out loud, his team lost a no hitter.
Listen, I've been thinking about this a lot. Nobody says no-hitter
after the fifth inning ever.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot since last week. And I just have to say, if you put this in the context of, say, the NFL, where you've got these scouts who are going all over training camp, you know, camps, they're watching films, they're sleeping in shitty hotels. You've got head coaches and position coaches work until 4 a.m. You got players training year round, showing up in great shape. And I just think it's disrespectful to these professionals that you got some guys sitting around saying, oh, you know, I wore the wrong shirt to watch. Oh,
wait
the game.
A minute. Wait a minute.
And
wait,
that's why they won or lost. Bullshit.
Bet you. Wait a minute.
Such Rooster, bullshit. Oh, Rooster, I switched positions. I had my legs crossed to the right and then I crossed them to the left. And therefore we lost. Oh my God.
Rooster, you know better than this. You know that those guys believe in those superstitions more than anybody on here. Absolutely. You know that in a dugout, if there's a rally cap on and somebody doesn't have, the first guy is going to say is put your fucking rally cap
on. They don't believe that Joe Fan sitting around, you know, eating Doritos, watching the game, it has any effect on the outcome of their game.
Okay. No, well, sure. Next time you see the entire dugout wearing a rally cap, you tell me that they're not
participatory.
Doing it. They're having fun. They're just banding together and showing team spirit. It's not that they don't think they're going to get run over by a bus afterwards because they didn't have their rally cap on correctly.
I'd like to test this. Why don't you say right now, live on air, that the Yankees, and say it confidently, are going to absolutely kill the Rays tonight? Just go ahead and say that, and then we'll see what happens.
I'll say that every day, even if I don't believe it, because I don't think what I say has any effect on the outcome of the Yankees killing the Rays, which, you know, the Rays are in a death spiral right now.
Just to be clear, the Yankees are going to kill the Rays tonight.
No, we have Herman starting. Our starting pitcher is Domingo Herman, who's got like a 15 ERA in the last several games. But nonetheless,
go ahead and say it, damn it.
We're going to kill the Rays. The Rays are going to finish in third place or fourth in the East.
You know, not for superstition, the Yankees probably would have never gotten most of their championships.
Right.
It was the curse of the Bambino.
Recognize
it. It just takes a lot of balls for a Yankees fan to say there's no such thing as superstition. I mean, really.
I'm not saying there's not any such thing. Sure, people are superstitious. I'm just saying it's stupid to be superstitious.
Does the guy who's benefited from the curse of the Bambino? Ridiculous. House, did you get any other mailbox items? Anything else?
Yeah, I was also reminded some of this, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the college baseball players when there's two balls, two strikes, two outs, deuces wild. They have a whole ritual. The entire team will like turn their cap upside down and they bring it up to their head and then they turn it right when the pitcher throws it. You'll see a lot of college baseball teams do the whole deuces wild thing. It's real. Superstition is real. It works.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Not work.
Just don't fuck with the baseball gods. I'll leave it at that.
It's real, but it's irrelevant.
That's Stradler.
Right. Okay.
No, I mean, it's real. People believe it, but it's not relevant because it's not real.
That's right.
America's sorry. Team. When House says something like that yesterday and then the fucking Pirates hit a walk-off, Come on.
Come on. Exactly.
That's pretty bad.
Real. It's real. It's relevant.
All right. Let's stick with baseball for a minute, because we are on the eve of the trade deadline in baseball. We've had one mega star move. I know House doesn't really agree, but so far the big trade is Scherzer going to the Texans or the Rangers. Sorry, going to Texas to the Rangers. So that's, I mean, Pope, first of all, that's one of your many teams. How do you feel about it? House doesn't think very highly of this.
He doesn't think that the Rangers got a good deal. I mean, I haven't heard your opinion yet.
I just think Scherzer really these days is in name mostly. I don't think he's the pitcher anywhere near the one that he once was. He got shelled his last playoff outing that he pitched, and he's over. I think he's pitching with an over 4.0 ERA this year. And I guess we don't know how good this Acuña brother kid is. That'll decide the value of his trade.
And below the top 50, like he's within the top 50 prospects.
But he wasn't necessarily going anywhere. I mean, I think the Rangers look at it that they gave up not much for more of maybe a hope that Scherzer can return to his form or close to his form. I mean, here's the problem the Rangers have. I don't know if you guys saw it, but Eovaldi went on the DL yesterday with the dreaded forearm tightness. Now, they say that it's not, you know, pre-Tommy John, but I mean, they say that about a lot of people. He's already had two Tommy Johns.
Yep.
So he's not that far away from a third, and three strikes, you're out in the major leagues. So they can't count on Eovaldi. They've got Haney. They've got Dunning. They got Graham Martinez, and they're struggling right now. And so bringing Scherzer in gives them the insurance policy that if they make the playoffs, or they'll make the playoffs, but you know, whether they wild card or division's up for question now, that they have somebody with experience. Now, granted, he did get shelled in the wild card game last year, and it's possible that he has lost definitely an edge that he's had, but he's older, but he's still, you know, I can't remember. House, do you remember how old was Cliff Lee when the Rangers picked him up in 2010?
Had to have been around
early 30s.
Yeah, 33, 34, probably.
Yeah, right. So, you know,
what is Scherzer?
Cliff Lee, I think he's 36.
Okay.
I think DeGrom's like 35. I mean, those guys are all in their mid 30s.
Scherzer is 39.
Ooh. 39.
Oh, he's 39. He's got a 4.01 ERA right now.
Yep.
His WAR is only 0.8 for the season. So that means he's not even giving you one game over the season better than a replacement pitcher.
But I agree.
Let me finish this. In his last seven games, he's 3-2 with a 3.98 ERA. In his last 15, he's 7-3 with a 4.08. ERA. So you can't really say that he started slowly and has brought his ERA down. I guess his 4.01 is pretty much, you know, where he's been the last 15 games or so.
So I think he's a lot 39. Of teams would take a Max Scherzer with a 4.4 ERA and assume, you know, that they're off. The Rangers offense had been until this last slump, you know, with Seager on DL and Heim potentially out for the year. I mean, they've been the best offense in the major leagues as far as run production. So, I mean, the Rangers are going all in, getting Scherzer. Well, the Mets are paying for the majority of his salary this year.
$118 million investment by the Mets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And getting Scherzer to sign on for next year. That was the deal.
Well, I think that's the bigger story here. I mean, look, Scherzer for you, I mean, he's a bulldog, right? And if you had to take a guy with a 4.0 ERA and hope that he could find, you know, some magic in the postseason, Scherzer's as good a guy as any. By the way, probably as good as a guy as Verlander, who will be moved soon too from the Mets. Yeah. But these are veteran guys who throw hard, who are bulldogs out there. And Scherzer will give up a jack at the beginning of a postseason game because he's so amped up, and then he won't give up another run for six innings. So you know, I think it's probably worth the risk. And, you know, if you get two good starts out of him in the postseason, it might be worth it. Right. Just as long as you're not expecting him to be a number one, like he was when the Nats traded him to the Dodgers. But I think the bigger story here is really the Mets throwing in the towel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
the towel for a while. Yeah. Not like just this year. I mean, the Mets. Right.
No, they're having to totally
rebuild.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like the other move more. The Rangers made
Montgomery.
Yeah. I like the Montgomery move more.
If you look at his last 10 games, he is definitely on the upswing.
Please explain to me why the Yankees got rid of him in the first place.
He's got 3.24 ERA.
Abundance of good starting pitchers.
He's not getting any run support.
Yeah, and then he rolled off five straight wins for the Cardinals right after the trade.
And the Rangers didn't give up much. I mean, from my perspective, I think the Rangers didn't give up the future to get these two pitchers and also got a reliever, Chris Stratton. So I think they might still not be done yet. So I don't know. Stay tuned. There might be a little bit more left until tomorrow.
So I think the Mets are at least going to move Verlander probably to the Dodgers. And then they've got Mark Cagna and Tommy Pham, both who are likely to move, maybe even one or both of them to the Phils. But there are other teams that are vying for them as well. And the Mets have completely thrown in the towel, which is a pretty big story. But I think there's still moves to be made. I really did think, and I don't understand what the Angels did here. Getting nothing for Ohtani. I think they're going to come to regret that. I think they're going to lose him after the season. I'm not even sure they're going to make the playoffs. I know they made other moves, but I really thought Ohtani was going to move. I don't know if there's going to be other big moves. There was talk that Cody Bellinger was going to move, but the Cubs have gotten hot all of a sudden, and so they're not going to move Bellinger. So I don't know what big names are left, but I do think there will be some moves in the next 24 hours before it ends.
Yeah, by the way, look at Verlander to the Orioles, by the way. That's not out of the realm.
Ooh, that's interesting. I mean, back to Ohtani really quick. I mean, what happened there? Did they just not get the offer? I mean, I just don't know if people were willing to give up what they wanted. You know, I don't think
that GM was willing to be the guy who traded the best player in history. Just didn't have the guts to do it.
Even though
I agree with House, he should have, because they're going to lose him and get nothing.
And they're long shots to make the playoffs.
Oh yeah,
they're not making the playoffs.
I mean, they're four back from wild card. Got the Yankees and the Red Sox in between them. But
some of the best prospects or trade chips right now are from the Nats. By the way, again, mm-hmm. I mean we've got two really good ones. In Candelario and Lane Thomas. Thomas is the interesting one because he's 28 and the team has 2 years control. And he's been probably the best offensive player on the team this year. They can be pretty picky with trading him, but he's a nice piece. And Candelario is definitely going to go. When you look at that, you think, wow, what a smart signing by Rizzo, who brought him in, and literally, you know, that was it. He's here on a 1 year deal and they're going to turn him into something. So something in the minors.
The Rays got a pitcher.
Absolutely.
Who did the Rays get?
The Guardians, Aaron's, what is Savali? Savali? Or,
yes. Oh yeah.
He's actually been playing really well. Like I think over his last 10 starts, he's got like a two something ERA.
Yeah, 2.32 ERA. You were screaming for a pitcher. You got one.
I'm very happy. And we gave up a infielder. I mean, he's good. He's one of our big prospects, but I didn't think it was that big. I'm very pleased. We desperately needed another starting pitcher. We got it.
Do we get a massive blockbuster? Like, does Soto get traded? Does it doesn't look like Arenado's going anywhere. I mean, do we see something massive happen in the next 24 hours? Or do we just see a lot of action of smaller pieces?
I think there's going to be a lot of smaller pieces go.
Shuffling the deck chairs on their own Titanics, but nothing major.
Yeah.
I thought there was going to be one, but maybe not. It's going to really have to be hot in the last 24 hours. I thought one of those Padres guys would go. I thought one of the Angels guys would go, but I don't even know what the philosophy is for the Padres and the Angels right now. Hold on to these guys.
Yeah. All right. Anything else on the trade deadline?
24 hours.
Time to talk a little football.
Woohoo.
There were approximately 10,000 people at Commanders training camp yesterday, just to follow up on the sale I don't think they had 1,000 people total all training camp last year, go out to Ashburn, Virginia, for the camp. And there was about 10,000 people there. On Saturday. And by the way, it was 100 degrees, in the DC area on Saturday. So that was 10,000 people who were just out there sweating their nuts off. Yep. But hey, how's Pope Rooster Milk? What do you guys got? Anything on NFL? Some weird shit going on, isn't there?
Was Sam Howell still the quarterback, by the way? I'm just curious.
Yeah, Sam Howell. How is he?
He's
a rookie.
Nothing's changed in terms of the play.
Well, he's second year, but he played one game last year.
I just want to make sure that Sam Howell, I guess I shouldn't be talking shit.
And yeah, you should not be talking shit. Yeah. This isn't going to be about the Commanders, but we did that last week. But in the sale, everybody forgot one thing, that Eric Bieniemy came in as the offensive coordinator. So that's, you know, keep an eye on that. Anyway, there's weirder shit happening, though, than Sam Howell playing quarterback.
So there's two very, very unlikable people on either side of a little sports soap opera. It's hard to decide who I'd less rather have over for dinner between Sean Payton and Aaron Rodgers. But whose side are you guys on?
Well, tee it up. What's the issue?
Yeah,
I think all of us last year roasted the hell out of Nathaniel Hackett and the job that he did as coach of the Broncos, which really did seem like it was one of the worst coaching jobs of all time. So Sean Payton gives an interview. He holds nothing back. And he says, Nathaniel Hackett did one of the worst coaching jobs in NFL history last year. And the Jets are in for more of the same.
And the Jets were stupid for hiring him, is what he said.
He's now the offensive coordinator of the Jets. And then after people started giving Payton some heat, all he really said was, oops, I thought I was still in the Fox announcer's booth. He didn't really say sorry. He just basically said, oops, I should have switched over to my coaching hat. And then Aaron Rodgers came to the damsel on the track and said, like, oh, no, you can't say that about Nathaniel Hackett. He's so fun at practice, and he's one of my favorite coaches of all time. And Sean Payton is an insecure man who needs to keep my coach's name out of his mouth.
Well, I think what Sean Payton said was truthful, but he should never have said it. You don't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't go bashing your fellow coaches really, what's his motivation for doing that? Because he's there now and he sees that Russell Wilson does suck. And now he wants to, you know, have a soft landing in case his year isn't so great. I don't know. But I just think Sean Payton was way off base doing that. And then like trying to torpedo the guy's career at his next team by saying the Jets were stupid for hiring him.
Well, and what did Rodgers say?
He basically
said he was insecure.
He said he was insecure for having to do that. He built up Hackett, said he was his favorite coach, and said Payton should keep his coach's names out of his mouth. You know, I don't like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I think that we've all made that pretty clear. No, nobody likes Aaron Rodgers. It's so weird. But I have to give the guy his due. He seems to really like these new teammates. He's sticking up for his team, his coaches, and he took a $35 million pay cut voluntarily to restructure his contract. You know, he could have sucked them with the Packers deal that he had.
Yeah, I mean, but he also kind of fucked up. I mean, I think the Packers fans are having, you know, a little agita over him restructuring a contract and sticking up for coaches after the last, you know, 5 years or so, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit of a hypocrisy, but Sean Payton stepped in it for sure, and his apology sucked.
Yeah, I'm mad at Sean Payton for making
I don't like Sean Payton saying that either, but I want to take, let's take the alternative position here. Does the NFL need more of this?
Yes.
Do we need more shit talk between the coaches? I mean, maybe look, we get so pissed at the NBA players because they're all hugging each other and going out for Cabernet at the end of a game when they're in a different city with each other and trading cases of wine. I mean, maybe we need a little bit more trash talk. I mean, you know, do you think there was a lot of love lost between Joe Gibbs and Bill Parcells or even Tom Landry? And those were some of the classy guys back then, right? I mean, let's roll out. What was that that little shit you guys had in Philadelphia for a Buddy long time?
Buddy Ryan,
that guy, he was a real piece of trash. I mean, come on, maybe we need a little bit more a trash talk between.
Yeah, coaches. But if you're gonna be like that, you better not be Sean Payton. Have you seen that guy on Fox when he was on Fox? He's like a little doughboy now. Every coach in the league could kick his ass. Nathaniel Hackett, I'd give him a little taste of that.
McCarthy versus Payton would be a battle of the doughboys.
Yeah, that.
Look, Payton is notoriously a dick, but he backs it up. I'm telling you.
When's the last time he did anything?
Payton?
Yeah, when did they win the Super Bowl?
Okay, they won the Super Bowl, but I mean,
Katrina, right?
No, okay, fine. I guess he had Drew Brees to help him along.
You guys remember the Super Bowl one year,
because everybody was you know, using their voodoo dolls in New Orleans, they won the Super Bowl.
Do you remember when Steve Spurrier was in D.C. and he said that he wasn't going to sleep on his cot in his office like Jim Hazlett, because look at how good Hazlett was doing in his career. He kept calling him Hazlett, even though the guy's name was Hazlett. He knew it. He talked, and Spurrier was the worst coach in the NFL, and he was talking shit about everybody. I don't know. Maybe we need a little more of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Well, how about this other one? I mean, we exited stage left with Dan Snyder. I think we've got someone who's taking the torch from him. I don't know. Maybe you guys disagree, but this Jim Irsay guy's a dick.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Always has been.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's terrible.
He seems more interested in being sort of the owner's spokesperson than in improving his own team.
Yeah. He's a dick too, but he's the only guy who came out and said Snyder might have to leave. Yeah, so he's the hero around here.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'll sit this one out.
Well, but I think this still opens up a larger issue, which we've been wrestling with the last couple of weeks, is the real-time dropping of the value of running backs right as we're watching. I mean, this is all about. Jonathan Taylor wants to be paid more money than he's worth. And Irsay's like, fine, you might as well die then, because I don't need you. I can go. I can
literally replace
you. Yeah, look, they traded up to draft him not very long ago. Two years ago, he led the league. He was the league's best running back. I mean,
what does he want?
16.
He wants 16?
Yeah.
That's number one.
I read a tweet that when Andrew Luck unexpectedly retired, he was owed something like $25 million or something like, well, actually not owed. There was $25 million left. And in a, you know, goodwill gesture, the Colts didn't have to pay it and they decided to pay it anyway. So I think Taylor's agent knows this in the back of his head. They know that you're willing to pay a retired guy $25 million and you won't pay a guy a year removed from being the league leading rusher, $16 million.
I feel compelled to say something here, because with the number one pick in last year's fantasy football draft, I took Jonathan Taylor.
I'm shocked. Shocked.
Or maybe it was 2 years ago or something.
Was it a superstition issue for you?
And he was fucking awful. He was just fucking awful.
He broke his foot.
Yes, no. And that's the point here. Look, I think this is a tough spot. I mean, you have a salary cap, right? In the NFL, you have a cap. And so you have limited resources to put out across your team. And, you know, these guys, just they're replaceable. I mean, they're replaceable. And in fact, they're not even the good ones aren't carrying the ball first down, second down, third down, they're in their first down and second down, and then they're coming out for a pass catching running back in it, right? In a lot of situations.
Not Saquon and not Josh Jacobs.
That's what I said last week about this was, you know, you do have a very special category, Christian McCaffrey being in there, Saquon. But for most of the guys in the league, you may have, you know, $15 million to spend on running backs on your team per year because you've got two or three guys coming in.
Bison, speaking of superstitions and fantasy football, my advice to you is to go with the George Costanza superstition and go with the opposite of your instinct.
Hey, I was in the playoffs last year.
Wait, I want to come back to Jonathan Taylor for a second because let me give you the other side.
I was in the playoffs. God damn it.
Let me give you the other side of the coin of him sucking for you on your fantasy team. The other side of the coin is the Colts just drafted a guy who, if they got it right, they're hoping to pay $100 million or more one day in Anthony Richardson. I mean, they really think they got the guy in the quarterback they drafted out of Florida. And they're gushing even over what he's been doing in training camp, preseason, all this stuff. What better investment could you have to ease this rookie into the NFL than giving the ball 30 times to a reliable running back who will protect the health of your franchise quarterback down the road? It makes no sense.
Right, right. And well, factor into the fact that their wide receiving core is mediocre.
Well, I have a question, Toby. He's under contract, right?
Yes.
Yes.
He just doesn't want to play for what he agreed to.
Correct.
No, it's his rookie deal.
Oh, is it his rookie deal?
Yeah.
Well, I think they threatened to put the $10.1 million franchise tag on him, didn't they?
That would be next year, though, right?
That's next year.
But the really ugly thing that happened in this Taylor saga, which really makes me think that Ursay's a jerk, is now he's playing hardball by claiming that the back injury, because Jonathan Taylor showed up and he said he had some back soreness, which was a pre-existing thing. And Ursay wants to claim that it's a non-football injury, in which case he wouldn't have to be paid at all this year. So Ursay's saying, you want to really play this game of pay me more? How about I pay you nothing?
I'll put you in the non-playing football.
Yeah, the NFI, the non-football injury. That's ugly. That's like really ugly. That's just making shit up.
Did you see what happened with Zach Moss?
He's hurt. Now he's out.
He's hurt. So now they're really in a jam. Like, what are you going to do? You've got no running back right now.
So how many of you guys think that there's actually something that's quasi, if not fully collusive going on right now between the owners?
And definitely.
100%. Yeah. Absolutely. But what are you going to do?
I think this Ursay thing is almost like performance art by him. He wouldn't be doing this otherwise.
I still don't understand. Jonathan Taylor does not belong in the same conversation as Christian McCaffrey. Correct. They're not even like close to being
the same. 2 years ago, Jonathan Taylor was the best running back in the NFL.
How many good years did he have?
2 years ago.
Did he have one good year?
One
good year. I've seen no consistency. McCaffrey is like every time he gets on the field, every year he plays well. Like exceptionally well.
Yeah, but he also has an injury history. Number one paid he has a pretty bad injury history, and that's what they used against Saquon. Josh Jacobs doesn't have an injury history. He's like 24, 25 years old, led the league in rushing, and is a good blocker and a good pass receiver. There's no reason that Raiders should be screwing with him.
Yeah.
It's just a sign. We're gonna continue to see it, whether it's Ursay and Taylor or other owners and their, you know, running backs who want to get paid like running backs used to. It's that's what's happening right now, and they're gonna have to deal with it.
Well, they're not happy with Saquon. I guarantee you that.
No, because he's settled for too low, right?
He's too low. Gotta be pissed
his agent. His agent's an idiot.
Yeah, he gave up too much. He left too much on the table.
I mean, he had more than that on the table early on.
He could have sat out for 1 week at training camp and got another $1 million, right? Probably added on. Yeah, he caved too soon.
Yes.
So, all right. Anything else on the NFL?
Watch out for Zeke signing with the Pats this week.
Ooh. Wow. I thought Dalvin Cook wasn't going to leave New York this weekend. I thought he was going to sign with the Jets.
Yeah, he's still flirting with the Dolphins.
Is he? God, that would be a sick team.
So Zeke and Dalvin Cook are both free agents right now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Boy, that's pretty remarkable.
Kareem Hunt, Len Fournette. There are a bunch of them out there.
Yeah. Well, that tells you as much as you need to know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So. All right.
And they're not even the frontline running backs.
Yeah. All right.
Cook is.
Cook on the Dolphins would be sick.
So, you know.
How about the Bills? How about the Bills?
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook on the Bills would be bad news for the AFC.
And they have both Cook brothers.
I'm sure the Eagles will probably sign them. They seem to gobble up all the running backs. Look, speaking of those guys like Zeke, that's a player that you got to love to fucking hate, right? And definitely. House, I mean, tell us, I mean, there are some guys out there that you just hate.
Well, we spend every weekend just ripping on Max, you know, like we just cannot stand Max Verstappen. And it got me thinking, like, what kind of villain in sports, like a player you just love to hate, you just feed on. And of course, like if all of a sudden, I don't know if you were, a Ferrari fan and Max were on your team, you would probably like him. So there's those kinds, you know, like I remember when the Phillies, we used to boo the shit out of Lenny Dykstra until we got Lenny Dykstra. And then we were pretty happy about it. So, I mean, there's those kinds of players, but then there's just players you just, you know, we'll go through the list. I'm sure you might guess who one of my favorite players to hate is. Maybe Milk will guess it with some ease, but I mean, who
Rondé Barber?
What's that?
Rondé Barber?
You're very close. You got the right team, buddy.
I have a couple.
Really? Yeah.
I have a couple.
Yeah. Let's hear yours.
All right. This is just in no particular order. And I could come up with a lot more, but I hate that little fuck Altuve. Right.
Oh yeah.
Very easy to fucking hate. He's a cheater. He's arrogant. He's just a little prick. He stole an MVP award away. Hate Altuve. God bless this guy. His life ended not in a way that anybody should be happy about. And I'm certainly not. But Andre Dirty Waters from the Eagles was a real piece of shit when he played. He was terrible. I love to hate Kobe Bryant. Yeah, Kobe Bryant, another dead guy.
I'm with you on that one. I hate Kobe.
Hated Kobe. Barry Bonds was a real prick because he was cheating all the way. And he acted like he was, you know, so above the media and everything. Roger Clemens falls into that category. Another guy I hated all along. Aaron Rodgers, we've covered. He's easy to hate. Jim Boeheim was a real piece of garbage. You know, another guy who's just easy to hate. And another cheater.
Really got behind the.
Right, man. Nate got a lot of hate going on. Nate is a hater.
I've never seen you so excited before.
Jim Calhoun.
Was it Jim Calhoun?
Wow. Come on.
I don't know. I got a few more, but I don't want to take them all.
Calm down there, man.
Somebody cut him off. Someone gave him a pill.
Wow. Awful.
Wow. That's only the first page.
Yeah.
That's the most excited I've ever seen you in a second. Wow.
You guys all agree with those, right?
I'm with you. You know, I don't love to hate anyone, but I do hate people for, you know, behavioral issues like Kobe. I'm convinced he raped that woman. I couldn't ever root for him after that. Same thing with Big Ben. I think Big Ben was
a serial
rapist and can't root for him either.
We do operate as an LLC, right? I just want to make sure.
Yeah, I said that's just my opinion. I'm not saying it's a fact. That's just my opinion. And I'm probably the only one who's going to have somebody on their own team that I hate, and that's A-Rod. I hate A-Rod. Speaking of cheaters and weirdos, I couldn't even root for the team when he was on it. I just hate that guy so much. Those are my big ones. And Jack Tatum, too, for that cheap shot that he threw at Daryl Stingley and paralyzed him.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I the pod length on YouTube isn't long enough for me to list anybody that ever wore a blue star on their helmet. So I'm just going to skip over all of those people. But besides those, I'm going to start at home. I'm going to start at home with Ben Simmons.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Seen that coming.
I cannot stand that guy. He's a faker. He's a silver spooned waste of talent who sits on the sidelines in his little Gucci wearing stuff. And then just like tend to your craft of playing basketball and stop whining and stop ruining your teammates' lives and breaking up teams. I can't stand Ben Simmons, but not far behind him is Kyrie Irving. I mean, Kyrie is another just true cancer of a player who can't stick anywhere, despite being surrounded with great players from LeBron James to Kevin Durant to Luka. I mean, this guy should have a stockpile of trophies, and we know what the common denominator is, but we can talk about Antonio Brown and Aaron Rodgers, but no one could ever take the gold medal podium away from Tom Brady himself. Tom Brady is such a piece of garbage. If you can steal game film from the other team so you can spy so you can win, let's cheat that way. Oh, wait a second. Is the football just a little too full with air? Let's deflate that little bad boy. That way we can steal another championship.
This is unbelievable.
Oh, wait a second. Wait a minute.
Is there a pandemic?
That was against the Colts, and they beat him by like 45 points. That was not stealing a championship. Of
course, with light balls.
The ball and deflated in Tampa?
While hundreds of thousands, millions of people are dying, me, poor little Tom Brady, needs to borrow $1 million so I can go out and buy a yacht.
PPP.
Oh,
fraud.
Oh, I'm coming back to New England for the first time. Don't worry. Everybody can buy TB12 t-shirts that will go to TB12 Inc. This guy is a garbage, ego-filled piece of shit and is number one on my hated sports player list.
Oh, wow.
He's number one on my most loved.
I know.
Crazy. It's like complete opposite.
Man, so, crush.
I know that the parameters of this was you can't pick a team.
No, you can't pick a team. Don't say Duke.
But I can't
go through the whole roster every 20 years.
The number of players on that team that I've always fucking hated over the years. I mean, it's just, it's uncanny. I mean, let's start with Christian Laettner.
Yeah. I mean, too easy.
He's of course I hate Christian Laettner. Oh, I always have.
He was hateable.
Oh, I love him. He was,
as a Carolina fan, he was the most hated probably of all the Dukies. But then not far from behind, though, comes J.J. Redick. Hated that guy. So cocky. Would kill us. Just couldn't stand him. Probably the guy, though, I just couldn't stomach was Bobby Hurley. That little fuck, whenever they would score a basket or get a run, he would go down, he'd slap the court, and all the Dukies would jump up and down. I mean, that was just... Oh.
That's got to particularly hurt, too, because he had back-to-back national championships, right?
That's right, he did.
So that's got to particularly...
Yeah, left a mark, can you tell?
To leave a mark on you. Yeah, I get that. That sucks.
How could you not name Grayson Allen yet?
He didn't merit consideration.
He's a jerk.
He's just total jerk. Yeah, I did hate him. I mean, I'm like Bison. My list is too long. But then I mean, I guess it's all basketball for me. I don't know. But God, I hated Bill Laimbeer.
Yes.
Couldn't stand that guy.
I like Bill Laimbeer.
When the Bulls were making their run before they finally got over the top, the Bad Boys and Bill Laimbeer. God, they were just a thorn in Jordan's side. And I could not stand Bill Laimbeer. He just crawled, my skin would crawl and he'd walk on the court. And, you know, I felt the same way. And you guys are going to give me shit. Fine. I deserve it. But when it was the Lakers and the Celtics.
Oh, boy.
Obviously, Larry Bird was public enemy number one.
I agree with Bird.
That's because you're such a longtime Lakers fan.
Yeah, because James Worthy went there. Obviously. James Worthy went there. Obviously, was a Lakers fan during that period of time. Oh
God!
I just hated Larry Bird.
Everything who did you hate when for? You were a Warriors fan for a couple of years?
I was never a Warriors fan. This is my dad.
Milk, do you hate anybody? You're kind of more of a lover, aren't you?
I've got a few names.
About Tim Tebow. Fuck Tim Tebow.
You've
crossed the line.
Wow.
I just wanted to get you going.
Holy shit. I'm getting a little heated. How dare you say that name in vain? I think all of us should name a Houston Astro. Not Altuve. I hate Bregman.
Bregman. Fuck that guy. Yes.
Oh, every time he came up to bat over the weekend, it was really bad. I hate every starting quarterback for Florida State from 1986 through the present day. There's plenty of them. That includes Jameis Winston.
Quarterback.
Fuck him. I loathe, like, with a passion, and no one has said this name, I'm really shocked, Nick fucking Saban.
Oh yeah.
He's not a player.
I'm with you. What about Dabo?
He is the devil. And I cannot wait for him to retire. Every year I say, is this the year that he's going to fucking retire?
He's not going to let Kirby Smart have the last word. He's not going anywhere.
He's got too much of an ego to fucking retire. All he does now lately is bitch and whine because he's becoming an old man. Oh, I can't stand him. And last, this is kind of a minor one for you guys. Rooster, you might agree with me on this. Do y'all remember Jonathan Papelbon?
Yeah, the Red Sox.
Yeah,
what a dick.
He would like do that stare down before he pitched.
Yeah,
I loathe that guy for years. I can't stand him.
He's a bad.
And since we can't name a team, I guess I can't name my last one, but it was the New York Yankees.
Wait. What was the what's the bloody sock guy? What was his name?
Oh, Curt Schilling. He's the worst.
Real fucking prick.
You have to hate that guy in his retirement. Even
I got a couple more here too. Michael Irvin. Oh, yes. Come on, man.
When they do that
coke fuel rage thing at the stadium too, where he tries to get everyone fired up.
You guys love that. Come on.
Jimmy Johnson. Fuck him and how about them Cowboys?
Did you say Favre?
Diggs, you know, by the way, Favre's another guy stealing public money.
Yeah, he should be on everyone's list.
Yeah, Trayvon Diggs, who just everybody thinks is good, and he's like literally one of the worst corners in the NFL. And then Sidney Crosby, that guy. I can't fucking stand Sidney Crosby.
What's wrong with Sidney Crosby?
He's brain damaged.
Leave him alone. How about Rex Ryan?
Another good one.
Dabo Sweeney.
We could go on and on. All right. So everybody out there, come on, let us know. Hit us up on Facebook or Twitter or X, whatever it's called now, or Threads. Let us know who you hate.
Do some X.
We'll talk about it next week. But I do want to just add something to the agenda here, because it's kind of what got us started on Verstappen and hating him for dominating and everything. I have a totally new appreciation for F1. I don't think you watch F1 to see who's going to win the race. And this is like the most un-American thing around, because right now the entertainment of F1 is everything happening behind the first place guy, Max Verstappen. And you know what? It's okay. I feel awful saying this, but I'm going to make a little exception for my uber competitiveness and say it's okay to find entertainment in the battle for seventh. This is
can't believe I'm listening to this.
It's interesting. Seventh. You gotta have the right attitude. This is a very European mindset. You don't have to be the winner. This is why Europeans like soccer and all the draws they have so much, and Americans can't stomach it. It's okay to see what's happening, and that's what's exciting. So I don't know.
Meanwhile, the rest of us are literally rooting for Max to crash, but not injure himself.
Yeah. That's what would make F1 great. If he broke his arm for the rest of the season and we could just watch 2 through 20 play for the podium, that would be great. So Max, just have a crash.
I mean, you guys can answer this. Max has got to be a much more superior driver than Checo. They have the same fucking car and he just,
they don't have the same car.
And 32 seconds later, I mean, he's got the.
They can't have the same car.
They can't have the same car. No way. Max just
blows by him on a straightaway. That has nothing to do with driving ability.
So I think they do have the same car, but I think the car has been developed and is set up for Max, and it's not set up for Checo. Just like I don't think that the Mercedes is set up for George Russell right now, and it's set up and been developed around Lewis, because these guys have
different driving styles. That's like taking a knife and cutting your teammate's Achilles and saying, all right, let's see how you can do, compete against me now.
But that's why there is a one and a two. And I'll tell you, there was a really interesting discussion on the Ringer F1 show today just about this. They asked the exact question, and they said, do you really think that Max is a second better per lap than every other driver out there? I mean, if you put him in a Haas, what is he going to do?
We always want to know that.
Right. And the other part of it that I thought was really interesting was they said that, remember where Checo started off the season really well and then kind of dropped off a cliff? There's some talk that he was trying to drive the car the way Verstappen does, because he realized that as long as the car is developed and set up for Max, he may have to alter his driving style. And that's one of the reasons that he had that terrible run of 3 or 4 races there. And now he's sort of gone back to just driving his race and understanding that he's not going to catch Max.
That's what Darth Helmet said. He said, now that Checo realizes he can't compete for the championship, he could just drive the car like he does. And that's exactly what he said.
Yeah. I would recommend it. It's a really good discussion on that, on the Ringer F1 podcast. It's a really good chat about just that topic. Is Verstappen that much better than Checo, or does he have some inherent advantage? So, all right, House, you got a punch to throw.
It's this week's punchable face.
All right, so this is recorded. I'm a little afraid that I'm going to say this, but I'm punching my own manager. I'm doing it. I'm sorry, and I'm going to say this a little bit quietly.
And speak up.
Thank you for getting us to the World Series last year, Rob Thompson.
Get it out.
But can we punch every manager in the history of baseball managers who pulls a pitcher in the middle of a no-hitter? Now, Thompson's claim is that he had been battling a stomach bug. Okay, fine. He's got 73 pitches. 73, not 93. 73 pitches, he's got a no-hitter. Okay, if he's diarrhea in the sixth and he can't come out, fine. If he gives up a home run, fine, then pull him. But can we at least see how he does in the sixth or maybe the seventh? I there are some decisions that are being made right now that are going to squander a possible great season. You cannot leadoff home runs are fun to watch. You cannot bat somebody who's 182 as your leadoff hitter who cannot steal a base. I love Schwarber. I love Schwarbombs. He cannot be your leadoff hitter. Your obvious leadoff hitter is either Bryson Stott or Trey Turner. He won't put either one of them in the one spot. He's totally screwed Turner's head at this point. He put him down to seventh, then moved him up to fifth. Who knows where he's supposed to be? He's batting something like 240. He's like 60 points below his lifetime average. This guy is squandering a very, very good opportunity season. And after he pulled a starting pitcher with a no-hitter, I have to at least do a milk slap, if not a soft jab. That's my
keep going. This is
do a little more. I think
I'm exhilarated. Right now. I'm like overly stimulated. Keep going. Yeah. Keep talking.
I'll trade him for Aaron Boone right now.
God, Aaron Boone, is it hot in here? Is it just me?
I mean, Trey Turner, 150 points below his career OPS.
That's
crazy.
It's managerial malpractice. What's happening right now?
So it does this little rant doesn't have anything to do with you falling a half game out of the wild card, does it?
I mean, we really don't.
The timing is just interesting.
The way we're playing, we don't belong within four games of the wild card. You cannot. Okay, the Pirates, fine, but the way they lost these two games, I mean, they look like the. Did you see when we had second and third in the 10th inning? There was
no, I didn't see
a deep fly to right field. Well, a fly that was far enough into right field by Trey Turner, and Harper, the third base coach froze. He started running halfway down the line, and he was like, "Come back!" Well, by the time they threw him back, he got caught in a rundown. The guy was tagging up from second to third. It was a double play with second and third, and nobody out. I can't anymore. I can't talk about this. I can't.
Eric, by the way, I will tell you this. Last week when I was checking out your lineup for the Orioles series, the first thing I said was, why the fuck is Schwarber leading off? Like, I was like, this is weird. Like, well, that guy should not be a leadoff bat.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Only one person is deciding that. It's the manager.
Well, this is good. It's always, always nice to have self-immolation on the podcast. So we're always happy to see that.
It's really a good. That was awesome. That was nice great. One, Toby.
Thank you.
Was
thank
the best
you
one
that's
you've ever done.
It's gonna be a good week. It's gonna be a good week.
It really is.
All right.
I might cry.
I think we got a couple lassos.
Barbecue sauce.
Dooster, you go first.
All right. I'm gonna give a lasso to Trinity Rodman, whose dad is Dennis Rodman. Hmm. And he abandoned her and her family when she was a little girl, and to the point where she and her mom and maybe some of the siblings had to live in a car for a little while Dennis was gallivanting around with celebrities and doing all his stuff. And she pulled herself up by the bootstraps, went to college in Washington, was the youngest player ever drafted into the Women's Soccer League at age 18, and was the Rookie of the Year in 2001. And then last year, they made her the highest paid player in the history of the league. And she's now doing great things for the U.S. Women's National Team. I just think she's a great story of overcoming adversity on her own with no help from Dennis. And, you know, keep an eye on her. She's going to be a fun player to watch.
That's a good one. I'm going to do a lasso right there with you and stay with women's soccer. If you haven't heard this story, last Monday when Colombia beat South Korea in the Women's World Cup for their opener in the Women's World Cup, there's a young woman named Linda Caicedo. Definitely keep an eye and ear out for that name. She became the youngest player to score in this year's World Cup at the age of 18. So, you know, what's the big deal with an 18-year-old scoring a goal in the World Cup? Well, at age 14, she debuted for Colombia, but at age 15, she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer at age 15. And they did a surgery to remove the tumor and 6 months of chemo. And there was a question whether she would ever play soccer again. Not only is she playing soccer again, but she's one of the very best in the world. So much so that, you know, this very same clubs that we talk about on the men's side have some of the great teams around the world, like Real Madrid. And she was recently signed to one of the biggest contracts in the transfer window by Real Madrid. But she scores this goal. Okay, this is a very heartwarming story. This girl on a big stage comes back from ovarian cancer, scores at the age of 18. And then 3 days later in practice, getting ready for the huge game against the number two club in the world, Germany, she collapses in practice. And people are like, maybe this was too much for Caicedo. I don't know. And it turns out it was a lot of stress, a lot of mental stress, and she was fine. Well, Colombia takes the pitch against Germany. And in the 57th minute, you have to see the goal that Caicedo scores against Germany. It's like mind blowing. She dances around and does this bender into the goal, and they upset Germany. They upset Germany, win 2-1, and Colombia as a country is going nuts over this 18-year-old girl, and they've advanced out of the group stage. And this is one of the better stories that I hope they go far, because her story and what she's done, the adversity she's hit and come back from, is a really, really good sports story. Check out that goal. Our viewers, our listeners, look up on YouTube the Linda Caicedo goal against Germany. It's a great one. And it's a great story.
All right. I got a lasso too. So see, some weeks we got a bunch of them out there.
Let's
go. This is, I got to give a lasso to The Rock and Pemba Grimbo. And I have no idea if I said that right, but Pemba is an MMA fighter who had his first UFC win this week. And he tweeted out or shared a picture that he had $7.49 left in his bank account before the fight. He was only able to eat because the meals that were provided to him leading up to the fight. And he won his first fight. And the reason The Rock is in this is because The Rock was a guy who also came up and really had nothing. And he saw this and he said, man, he congratulated him on Twitter or whatever we're doing now. And, you know, said, I was there with you. I understand. Congratulations. You know, I'm going to come. I got your back. I'm going to come see you. I'll be in touch. And sure enough, The Rock showed up and surprised him at an interview to just congratulate him and wish him well. There's some rumors, I haven't been able to confirm this, that The Rock gifted him a fully furnished house in Miami. But just the fact that The Rock, you know, saw this story, took the time to track the guy down, show up at his training facility and surprise them is pretty cool.
Very.
So another guy who picked himself up and here's to a long, successful career for Pemba Grimbo. And nice job, The Rock.
Good one.
Love it.
Good one. Good
All one, right, guys. Any other lassos? Buzzer beaters. Who's got something?
This kind of plays on the soccer theme we had going for lasso, but big game tonight, 2 a.m. Eastern time. Set your clock. Women's soccer team must win to advance to the knockout round. If they draw, then their fate is not in their own hands. If they lose, they're out. Play against Portugal. The women's team has never not made the not been has never been knocked out before the semis in the World Cup. So big game tonight for the women. Go USA.
Go USA.
So if they lose, USA. They're out.
Yeah.
That would be shocking.
So they've won one and tied.
So their overall record against Portugal, I saw they've scored 39 goals and Portugal's never scored on them. So you would think that the odds are in their favor, but it's just one game and you never know what happens.
Yep. Yeah, we won one and we tied one. We beat Vietnam and we tied against Netherlands in a great comeback tie.
Yeah.
And so they got to win. They got to win tonight.
Well, since we've turned this show into a bitch session about our favorite baseball teams, I'm going to renew my push to get Aaron Boone fired. We need to fire Aaron Boone. And just in the last weekend, he has his ace on the mound. Gerrit Cole goes 7 innings of shutout baseball, and he pulls him. Whoever pitched in the eighth did a good job. Still a shutout. Then he's managing the team as if we're already in the playoffs. He decides he'll give Tommy Cannell the closing job in this game, which is really disrespectful to your ace, I think. And we need to win every game. Tommy Cannell's just off the injured list. He's not a closer. He's a setup guy. We have Clay Holmes, who's our closer. And what does he do? Gives up a home run, loses the game in the ninth inning. So then we fast forward to yesterday, and he's got Luis Severino on the mound, who was washed up 2 years ago. And Brian Cashman should have figured that out 2 years ago. And how many runs did he give up in the first inning? 9?
Seven.
Six,
six, seven,
before and out.
Seven in the first inning, six before and out, and he leaves him in this whole for that whole thing. And Severino gets out of the game and says to the press, "I feel like I'm the worst pitcher in the major leagues right now." And I think he may be right. And we need to pull him out of the lineup. But Aaron won't do that because he just doesn't ever really pull any strings. He just sits back and bitches at umpires all game and doesn't employ any strategy. So that he needs to go. Get him out of there. And then Brian Cashman should follow him out the door.
Just for the record, I'm really happy with my team. I mean, we're not doing well this year, but I'm happy with them. I'm not bitching about my team. Who else has a buzzer beater?
I'm not bitching about either of my teams.
Mark Kanya for the Mets did not go to the Phillies. He's just been traded to the Brewers for pitching prospect Justin Jarvis. So the Brew Crew are making a move. My buzzer beater is I am going to be kind to all of you guys. Even, I guess... Yeah, I guess the Cowboys, but I'm wishing health among all your NFL teams, all of our fans, NFL teams. What I don't want to see happen in this NFL season is it get ruined by training camp injury. We've seen Burrow with a calf injury, Patrick Ramsey with a bad injury, Tim Patrick, wide receiver for the Broncos, with a bad injury. I really hate when this part of the NFL season happens. I mean, that would really stink.
Patrick Ramsey?
Jalen, right?
Jalen Ramsey. Wow, Jaylen, there's, of the year. There's a green wave.
Green wave quarterback on my. Yeah. Jalen Ramsey. So I really hope that we don't see any more injuries in this NFL training camp.
But Max, that's a different story.
Max, it's too late. It's a different story.
Broken arm.
Just a broken wrist.
And I've got a non-update update to a story that I was following on Jordan Addison and his 140 mile an hour speeding ticket where he said he was his dog emergency. And I promised I would look into it and get back with you. There's not one fucking detail I can find anywhere on anything that happened beyond getting the ticket. So I'm thinking something is a little suspicious, but I will report back when I get more information.
I think your
update's going to be he doesn't have a dog.
It's shocking.
I can't find any details about what kind of dog he has, anything like that.
I can't believe it. That's
Milk. Are you beating your buzzer?
I think we have to say DeMar Hamlin first. Padded practice today.
Yeah. Nice.
Since his cardiac arrest.
Let's hope he doesn't get cut. Story. That would be horrible if he gets cut.
Yeah.
Oh, rooting for him. Is that on the table?
Yeah. It's pretty competitive position for the Bills this year.
Yeah.
Formula One summer break. We've got no races until August 27th. So we got a little summer recess. Let's see what happens over the summer break when we get back. Already had the big drama at Alpine. There'll probably be something else that happens, so keep an eye on that.